And so we have been all month and the whole Advent season, we have been creating a space in which the divine presence can be born in us. And we just celebrated Christmas Eve, Friday night, and we allowed that. We celebrated the birth of a baby. And we also celebrated the birth of something wonderful in us, the Christ presence, love, the divine possibility within us. And every time we feel the Christ presence within us, we begin to remember who we are. We begin to remember our divine purpose to be love and to anchor heaven, that realm of ever-expanding, ever-increasing good, to anchor heaven right here on earth, right here and right now. Now, if we want to anchor heaven on earth, we got to be willing to give up our story. I hate to tell you that. Have you noticed you cannot create an opening for more prosperity, more peace, more love, more creativity, and keep the same mindset that you've always had? A very smart man, Albert Einstein, he once said this. He said, "We can't solve problems by using the same kind of thinking we used when we created them." We can't solve our problems by using the same kind of thinking we used when we created them. In other words, you know, we can't solve our problems with the same consciousness that we used to create them. Isn't that interesting? We've got to go to a higher place. And so the invitation today is that in order to start choosing heaven in 2011, we've got to move to a higher place in consciousness. So let me ask you, what is your highest intention that you have set for 2011? Do you have any? Have you set any yet? I hope you have, because if you don't start setting them now, then you'll keep, this time, same time next year, you'll be repeating the same stuff for the next year and the year after that and the past, the year that was before that and the year before that and the year before that. How did high school work for you? Because some of us are repeating the same intentions that we had in high school because we have not taken the time to do the work to clear out that old stuff. The old core beliefs, beliefs such as I'm not lovable, or I need somebody else's approval, or I'm not good enough. Do yourself a big favor and come Friday night. That's this Friday, New Year's Eve at 7 p.m. for our Burning Bowl service. Start cleaning house. Start getting rid of and releasing those old beliefs that no longer serve you. And start consciously setting some intentions that you want to create in the new year to come. Because if we don't do that, we'll keep repeating the same old, same old. And what do you think we get? The same old, same old. And so if you don't know at the center of your being that you are love itself, that you are what God is. If you don't know that as a cellular level, then you will go out and you will find people to prove to you, I'm not lovable. I'm not good enough. Because the truth is, you attract people, and this is the most important thing you can know. You attract people, and you create situations to allow people to reveal to you the truth of what you believe. Over 6 billion people on planet Earth, and their one job is to reveal to you what you believe. You know, how wonderful is that? And they will. They will do that. They will reveal that to you. And so there's so many opportunities. There will be many, many opportunities, you know, for people to find something wrong with you if you believe there's something wrong with you. So let me give you an example. Say you're having an absolutely wonderful day. Absolutely, everything's just humming along. And then all of a sudden somebody appears and you remind them of their third grade teacher who they did not like. Or you remind them of Aunt Martha who they can't stand. Or you remind them of an ex-spouse or an ex-partner. And they lash out at you. Ever happen? Now, if it has absolutely nothing to do with your belief system, you'll stand there and you'll go, wow, they're really not having a good day at all. But if there is any place within you that feels that you are just quite not good enough, you'll think it's about you. Have you ever, or have you moved here recently and brought your ex or your old bosses with you? They showed up, not in the same body, but they treat you the same. So as we approach this new year, it's really, really important to get really clear on who you are. Because as you begin to know who you are, and as you begin to know that you are the beloved of God, then you will begin to treat everybody else as the beloved of God. Because you can't give to others what you don't believe about yourself. And so we come together every Sunday and we create, you know, me too, I'm in this transformational process with you. You know, we come together every Sunday morning and we create this incredible energy field. And do you ever wonder why we spend so much time at the opening of this service with music? You know, we're asking you to open your hearts. We're asking you to greet each other. We're asking you to love each other because it's in this field of love, in this field that we create, that we can begin to shift and move, because together we create a safe place for our hurts, for our old beliefs to come up to be healed. We create this field of love so that we can know our connection and we can know our oneness. You know, our kids, they're connected. They understand oneness. I mean, they're out there on the, you know, linked up on the World Wide Web. You know? And it's interesting what we can do in today's world. I mean, this morning, all of a sudden, out of the blue, I got this phone call on my iPhone, and it said Pontiac, Michigan. And I'm going, so I didn't answer it, but I got a voicemail. And when I listened to it, it was this gentleman who was saying, I just want to find out if church is happening this morning. And I'm thinking, this poor soul in Pontiac, Michigan is one, they must be having a snowstorm up there. And he, I don't know how he got my 770, his thing was 248. And so I thought, being the minister, I did not want him missing church. So I call him back. And I say, I'm so sorry, you got the wrong number. And he said, oh, well, I was just trying to find out if the church on Sandy Plains Road, I'm going, that's my old church in Atlanta. And I said, well, that's Unity North Atlanta. I used to be there. I was the senior minister there for 5 years. But I'm in Bellevue, Washington now. I'm at Unity of Bellevue. I said, how'd you get my number? I said, you're calling my personal cell phone. And so I got it in the office of Unity Renaissance in Warren, Michigan. I'm going, you're a Unity person. I said, well, aren't you having church? I said, is it snowing in Michigan? He said, no, I'm in Atlanta. And I said, you're not going to believe this, but I was just on the internet, on my email, and I still get emails from Unity North. I know they canceled church service today. I had just seen that notice. I'm going, oh, they're not having church today. And so I'm telling this gentleman from Pontiac, Michigan, who's in Atlanta, Georgia, that I'm in Bellevue, Washington, that the church in Atlanta is closed today. We are so connected. We're so connected. And I thought, that's a great example for my lesson today. But I'm still just kind of amazed. And so we're just chatting, and I'm saying, give my love to Unity Renaissance when you get back home. So, but the issues that were big deals to us when we were our kids' age, they're no longer an issue, are they? You know, color of our skin, lifestyle, women's rights. I mean, they're not important today. And so let me ask you, what are the seeds of consciousness that you want to plant this year? What's the legacy that you want to leave? You know, and how many of you have as your most powerful and sacred work healing your family of origin issues? Yeah. Let's see some hands. How many of you are working on healing family? And I'm putting my hand up too. And I'm sure there's a few more of you out there. But when we look around, you know, we think we're alone in this. We think that I'm the only one whose family didn't love me, or I'm the only one who grew up in an alcoholic home. No, what I want you to know is that Unity of Bellevue is a safe place to heal those childhood wounds. It's a safe place. Ask a chaplain to pray with you. Find a prayer partner. Make sure you're in a group of people who are praying with you and walking through life with you. You don't have to do it alone. And we're going to create more opportunities next year for you to join a small group, a group that loves you and supports you. Because we all have our own work to do. Every one of us. Me, including me. You know, and the places that I'm wounded are the places that I'm going to hurt other people. The places that you're wounded, you're going to hurt. That's where you're going to hurt other people. And so together we're creating this safe place so that we can bring all that stuff up so it can finally be healed. And as we heal ourselves, then Unity of Bellevue becomes a birthing center. You know, we're here to birth the magnificence of God. There was an article, and I love it. In 2007, Sports Illustrated named Brett Favre, then quarterback for the Green Bay Packers, as Sportsman of the Year. And he was asked to think about a moment, one of his favorite memories. And after thinking for a moment, this is what he said. He goes, I've got so many plays running through my mind. The funny thing is, it's not only the touchdowns and the big victories. If I were to make a list, I would include the interceptions, the sacks, the really painful losses. Those times when I've been down, when I've been kicked around, I hold on to those too. In a way, those are my best times because that's when I found out who I am and what I want to be. And so that was 3 years ago, and now Brett Favre is ending his remarkable career with the National Football League, you know, injured and worn out and tired, I'm sure, at age 41. But last year, at age 40, he had one of the best years ever, even before he was named Sportsman of the Year in 2007. What touched me most about that Sportsman article in Sports Illustrated, the Sportsman of the Year article, was the lead-in. It said this, the Packers' Iron Man at 38, enjoying one of his finest NFL seasons. His passing is more precise, his leadership more evident than ever, but his greatest attribute is the devotion he inspires in those he touches and his dedication to making their lives better. Wow. Wow. And so we must each ask ourselves, God, what is your vision for my life? You know, what are the gifts that I am here to share? Make 2011 the year that you birth something new. You know, because we're living out of what we've planted in the past and most of it unconscious. And so in 2011, consciously plant a new seed. You know, birth limitless, incredible new possibilities. Because as we birth our divine self, Unity of Bellevue becomes a launching pad. And I love that idea, that we are here to launch our unique genius into the world, to plant a seed, to just ask what if. And when I was in the Soviet Union for the first World Incident of Cooperation in December of 1986, and most of you know that by the World Healing Day, and the 25th one is coming up this New Year's Eve morning. Can't believe it, 25 years has passed. But I'm inviting you all to, Bill and I will be here at 4 a.m., kind of depends where you are in the globe as to what time, because it's the same instant in time people all over the world are praying for world peace. And here in Pacific time, It's 4 a.m. So I invite you to come and sit in meditation and just experience what it's like to be with millions of people praying for world peace. But when I was in Moscow for that first world incident of cooperation, we met with Russian people and we asked, what if? What if we got to know each other? What if we became friends? Would it lead us one step closer to peace? What I want you to understand that whenever you come upon the word impossible, all you have to do is add an A and a little bit of space, and we move from the impossible to the I am possible. Okay? From the impossible to the I am possible. And so whatever dream God has placed in your heart, you know, however you have been called to make a difference in this world, with God, it will seem impossible. You know, if it's God's idea, it will seem absolutely impossible to you. But all you have to do is bring an A. Bring the your I am presence, which is the nature of God in you. Bring your I am presence. Make a little space for God to work. And it will be possible. And we'll move from the impossible to the I am possible. I'd love to tell you a story and share with you a story of the difference that one woman made by planting a tree. 30 years ago in Kenya, Africa, over 90% of the trees had been cut down. Without trees, the topsoil couldn't hold anything in place, and so the land became a desert. This is Kenya, Africa. One woman saw what was happening. Her name was Wangari Maathai. And she saw the woman in her village spending 2 to 3 hours every single day going around trying to find every little scrap of wood they could to have a fire. And she decided there had to be a better way. And so she began. And that is very important to note, that whatever you're looking to do, whatever you are called to do, you must begin. You must begin it. Wangari did not begin as a CEO of a tree planting company. Okay? She started with one sapling. And then with that sapling, she watered it and she tended it. Then she planted another one and she watered it and she tended it. And when she was planting trees, Wangari was arrested, beaten, clubbed, and thrown into jail because women didn't do that in Africa at the time. But she did it anyway. She continued to do it. And she had the vision that she could plant several thousand trees. And so I'd like you to take a look at a little 3-minute video clip on this amazing woman, Wangari Maathai.
They are also complaining that they do not have enough water. Why not plant trees? I asked the women. And so they just started very, very, very small, very, very small. And before too long, they started showing each other. It was now communities empowering each other to plant trees for their own needs. When the women started, nobody was bothering them because nobody took them seriously. No, who takes women seriously? Then the government realized that we were organizing women. So they started interfering with our organizing.
Thank you. a lot of our people were killed. It is the people who must say their vows. It's the people who must make their leaders change. So we must stand up for what we believe in.
Planted over 35 million trees. And when Wangari Maathai, when she won the Nobel Peace Prize in 2004, this is what she wrote. What do trees have to do with peace? Our recent experience in Kenya gives hope to all who have struggled for a better future. It shows it is possible to all to bring about positive change and to do it peacefully by planting trees. All it takes is courage and perseverance and the belief that positive change is possible. This is why the slogan for our campaign is, "It's possible." All over Africa, signs say, "It's possible." And when we plant trees, we plant the seeds of peace and the seeds of hope. We also secure the future for our children. I call on all people around the world to celebrate by planting a tree or a seed of possibility. And I know we have a local organization here in Seattle called Peace Trees Vietnam. And that organization, based here in Seattle, Washington, demines, or in Vietnam, does demining and then plants trees on that spot that they've demined. So I ask you, how are you, or how are we as a spiritual community, how are we being called to plant a seed? Many of us won't do big things like Maathai did, but each one of us is called to do, to plant a small seed of possibility where we are, in our schools, in our neighborhoods, in the way we treat the elderly, in the way we care for our environment. As Mother Teresa said, we are all called to do the small things with great love. And so three questions I'd like to leave with you today as we end is, what are the seeds that you're planting? What is the consciousness that you're planting this next year? What's the legacy that you want to leave? And what is the intent, what is, you know, God's infinite love calling you to do? How is it guiding your life? So join me, if you will, as we move into this brand new year, choosing heaven in 2011. God bless you. Happy New You and Happy New Year.